This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
Good evening. The Science of Mind magazine presents with pride Dr. Ernest Holmes, noted author, philosopher, and spiritual leader. In just a moment, Dr. Holmes. But first, I'd like to call your attention to the February issue of the Science of Mind magazine. You know, for over 30 years, the Science of Mind magazine has been the guide to millions of people in their seeking of a happier and more abundant way of life. I'd like to read to you two excerpts from letters we've received just recently. From Adelaide, Australia, this statement: thank you for the many helpful articles that are contained in every one of the magazines. Life is very good to us to be able to obtain a magazine that embraces so much. And another quote from a friend in Abilene, Texas: your magazine, Science of Mind, is the best magazine I have ever read. It is full of help from cover to cover. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, have you got your February issue of the Science of Mind magazine yet? I suggest that you do so at once and discover for yourself the value that is contained in its contents. By the way, it's waiting for you at your favorite newsstand. And now, Dr. Ernest Holmes.
Good evening, friends. I want to talk tonight about affirmative thought patterns and how habits are formed consciously, which ultimately will control, or certainly go a long ways toward controlling, our destiny and enable us to consciously decide what's going to happen in our experience. In the first place, as we all know, thought patterns create habit patterns. For instance, suppose we're learning to drive an automobile and we know nothing about it at first. It's very self-conscious. We are aware and somewhat embarrassed trying to think of doing a half dozen things at once and easily confused. Gradually, with a little practice, however, something else within us seems to take over, almost as though it were another person. And the best and safest driver is one where this has most completely happened. He is driving automatically, because there has been formed within him, somewhere in his mind, no one knows where, a thought pattern or a habit pattern which automatically reacts. Now, we are more or less governed by all of these thought patterns, and too many of them are patterns we never created ourselves. We're governed by the thought patterns of the ages. For instance, some people will say we've always had poverty, we've always had war, we've always had trouble, we always shall, merely because the thought patterns of the ages are themselves repeating themselves, as Freud said, who discovered much of the action of the unconscious mind, that a neurotic or an unhappy thought pattern will repeat itself with monotonous regularity throughout life, as though it were an entity within itself. That is why a poet said vice is a monster of such awful mien that to be shunned needs but to be seen. But seen too oft, familiar with its face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. And how true that is. Many things that at first we don't feel we want even to accept, if we entertain them in our minds long enough, become so much a part of us that they react as though they were entities of themselves. Now we know that affirmative thought creates good things in our lives. Affirmative thought creates a healthy body. It maintains the normal functions of the system. Affirmative thought attracts or repels to us according to our acceptance, based on the principle Jesus announced, and it's now scientifically proven to be true, that we are surrounded by some kind of an intelligent, creative medium which receives the impress of our thought and acts upon it. We know that certain plants, seeds, that are planted in the ground become what we call perennial plants. They continuously reseed themselves. So the mind is a sort of a perennial garden, ever bringing up to us the images of the thoughts we have put in it. If then we learn to think affirmatively, if we had more hope than despair, more faith than fear, more of a sense of security than uncertainty, and if we have more peace than we do confusion, gradually new thought patterns, new habit patterns are being laid down, which, when they are firmly rooted, sort of take over, and we automatically bring to bear upon every situation a peace and a calm and an assurance that is not only contagious among other people, but it silently attracts to us those things that we are affirming. If we could come to the realization that we are living in a universe of divine intelligence governed by law, whose motivation is good, if we could come into the thought, habit, and pattern, for instance, of thinking that no matter where we go or whoever we meet, we shall always be among friends. Now, that might contradict much of our experience when we first affirm it, because you know as well as I do that often when we seek to change our thought patterns, it is as though something within us arises and argues against it and says, you can't, it couldn't be that way, it isn't going to be that way, it never has. And we are confronted by what the whole world thinks and our previous experience, and yet we are still dealing with habitual thought patterns which are repeating themselves with monotonous regularity and bringing often into our experience the very things we would like to shun, the very experiences we are seeking to become free from. Therefore, if we want to learn the secret of this and keep it in our own mind, we don't have to argue with any about it. Anybody about it, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. I have found that it doesn't pay to try to convince anybody of anything, but those people who, with sort of an imagination and an inward feeling and an affirmative attitude, accept these things by nature as though there was something in them that agrees with them and begins to act as though they were true, will soon find that they are true. For instance, if a person would take the simple thought, there is an intelligence that goes before me and prepares the way. I am carrying nothing but friendship, love, consideration. I have no attitude other than that which wishes well to everyone. And this is the only thing that's going to come back in my experience. At first, in making this affirmation, thought patterns might come up that denied it. And he would remember many experiences that were quite contrary to the thing he now is holding affirmatively in his thought. And all the suggestions of previous times will come up and say, well, think of yesterday and think of the day before. So the wisest man who ever lived, after having given a very simple formula for affirmative thought in relationship to the universe in which we live, which he called faith and belief, said, it is done unto you as you believe. Therefore, he said, when you believe, when you pray, he didn't use these words. He said, believe and you will receive. That's affirmative thinking. And knowing that everyone meets conditions and situations that contradict his highest hope, he said, when you do this, close your eyes to everything else and judge not according to appearances. Now, that was a wise thing. The first settlers that went down into Imperial Valley found nothing there but desert land and waste places, excessive heat, nothing growing. And they saw something that was quite contrary to what they wanted ultimately to experience, but they judged not according to what they saw. They said, if this land is cultivated, water is brought onto it, if it is irrigated, then it will someday blossom. It will become a garden spot of the world. Therefore, they changed the whole sequence of what otherwise had been going on for millions and millions of years, over and over again, just exactly as an unhappy thought pattern in our own consciousness perpetuates the very conditions we would like to avoid, and all in accord with a definite law of cause and effect in our own mental life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, we used to put all these things in the realm of superstition and wondered if we had to have some kind of a peculiar religion or some secret that we knew between God and ourselves which had not been revealed to others. That is no longer necessary. We now know that there is a principle involved. We have a knowledge of how it works. We now know that there is a technique or a way to use it. And we now know through experience that those who use it rightly and persist in affirmative thinking will most certainly prove their position. So Jesus said, when you pray, enter your closet. Close your eyes, that is, shut out external things. Stop thinking that the only thing that can happen has to be a repetition of what has happened. And then he said, accept the new idea, believe that you already have. Now, this is an important thing in creating new thought patterns, because you see, a thought pattern is itself merely what is, it is just a result of what we have done or what we have taken on from others or read or all the things that the world has believed, like there must always be war, there must always be poverty, there must always be disease. Why, in research work, in science, they do not go along on that principle at all. They say it doesn't matter what has been. Here is something that will work. We shall experiment with it until we get a new result. Then we know that every time we form or create the right mold, the new result is certain to follow. Now, Jesus knew this, but he knew it in a different way. That is, he was thinking about the inner mental and spiritual life of man. He was talking about the creative side of that silent, whatever you may call it, invisible partner within us, which cooperates with us in everything we do, whether we know it or not. But it is certain that in the thought patterns which we lay down, the principle which operates upon them is rather impersonal. It does not say, well, I don't think that's so good for you or best, any more than the creative soil in the ground, if we plant turnips, say, well, perhaps you don't like turnips. Perhaps you'd rather have potatoes or beets or cauliflower or even a rose bush. It will grow anything we put into it. Now, we can liken our own inner creative mind and call it the soil of our mind, the creative principle within us. And we can say our thoughts are seeds that fall down in there, just as seeds cast into the ground. As a matter of fact, one of the parables of Jesus was exactly like this. He called it the parable of the sower, one of his very famous parables. And we can say, we can just as well recultivate this. We may definitely and consciously dig up, as it were, the negative patterns of thought. And here is a part of that technique. Just as a straight affirmation creates a positive, definite thought pattern, which will create what we desire rather than what we do not, so an opposite thought is like digging up a weed. It seems to have the power and the ability, and actually does, pull up and uproot the negative thought pattern and replant it with a new kind. And this natural law within us this thing within us that's always creating something, just starts right off and begins to create the new idea based on the new ideal. This is the importance of affirmative thought, creation. Now, it doesn't mean positive or aggressive. You see, when you go out and obey a law of nature, you're not compelling it, you're not impelling it, you're not coercing it, you're not arguing with it, you are merely using it in a different way. And that silent process which reacts never asks why, or how did you find out, or what have you in mind. This is the place where our own individual initiative and acceptance, it comes into play, and we are dealing with a principle that's infinite, it's limitless. Whatever this thing is, I do not know what it is, no one knows what it is, any more than anyone knows what the life principle in us is. We merely accept it and use it. And experience is taught that we may use it affirmatively or negatively. And perhaps we might say that the very thought or the very principle that brings good to us likewise might bring evil. That which impoverishes could enrich. In psychosomatic medicine, we know that it depends upon how we allow our emotions to work. There's nothing wrong with the emotions themselves, but it depends entirely on how we permit them to work. What are the thought patterns? Are they ones of neurotic fear, of extreme anxiety, of a sense of insecurity and guilt and unhappiness? Are they ones that appear to isolate us from the rest of society so that we feel alone, unwanted, unneeded, and unnecessary? Now, we are individuals. We have been given the power to change our thinking. And our thinking about life and human destiny and God and the future, all men, I believe, are immortal. I believe all men are on the pathway of an eternal existence, forever expanding, always more and nevertheless, and I believe that all people ultimately will arrive at a goal of good. Now, how much better to think that than to wonder, than to be afraid, than to look forward with uncertainty and doubt and misgiving to the future. Therefore, I think it's impossible to change our thought patterns in the best possible manner without first having arrived at some deep convictions about life, a greater faith in whatever this thing is that we call life, in God, the living spirit, and a complete conviction that we have a silent partnership with a power that sets the stars in their course, which also may guide our destiny if we permit it. But we are free, willing individuals. We do have choice. And if we didn't have, we'd be automatons. We would not be people at all. And so we not only have the right, but it is imposed upon us that we shall suffer the consequences of all of our thinking. And if our thought patterns are not deliberately changed, they will endlessly repeat themselves. So we have to feel that we are seizing upon a great principle in nature, a deep secret of our own being, and something I think that we can dramatize in our own consciousness, because the imagination plays a big part in this. You see, we have an imagination and a feeling, and we have a will or an intellect. It is the office of the will and the intellect to consciously decide and choose what we want to think about. It is the office of the imagination to feel the reality of what we are thinking about. And so we have to sort of put together thought, definitely, and deliberately chosen, and a feeling which is always there, and a sort of an inward awareness and conviction that all is well. If we use this combination without coercion, without seeking to exercise the will or dominate anything in nature, or holding thoughts or concentrating, all of which are entirely contrary to every law of nature we know anything about. You see, the laws of nature are self-existent. They're there, they work, They have no effort in working. Life turns itself into all the forms it takes through an effortless process. And so you and I will have to cooperate with something which we do not oppose. This is the meaning of non-resistance. The more we resist things, the more real they become to us. But if they are reduced through a sort of a feeling that we do not have to struggle against them, there is a power greater than that. They seem silently to steal away, like Arabs that have folded their tents and stolen away from that particular location. But right now, you and I and everyone living is pretty much governed by all the thought patterns that he or someone else has laid down and which he has unconsciously accepted, by all the thought patterns of the ages repeating the habits generation after generation, which may be limiting and unhappy and destitute of hope. And so we have to deliberately change them. Every advance in history is marked by someone reaching a new horizon and passing beyond the previous experience, and with an inward feeling and conviction and hope, perhaps built upon a longing and an inward intense desire, guides him to something that's new and something that finally revolutionizes perhaps a whole science, a whole industry. But we have to start with revolutionizing our own inward consciousness, carefully watching to see what thoughts arise from our minds that deny the good we would like to experience. Someone might ask, is it right? Is it a good thing? Do we really have this privilege? I think we do. We have the privilege of choosing in everything. There is no power in the universe, you know, that having created man wishes to destroy him. That is complete nonsense. Whatever the powers may be, whatever God may be or life, it's good. There's nothing in the universe that conspires against man but himself. And so far as you and I are concerned, it's useless to ask others, how shall we think? What shall be our salvation? What shall we do to be made happy? There is no one living has the power to give life to us. It's already been given. There is no one living who has the intelligence to govern your life or tell you what to do but yourself. You yourself, just as I myself, must be and ought to be and in reality are the arbiters of our own thinking. Here in what the Bible has chosen to call the secret place of the Most High, dwelling under the shadow of an overpower in the universe which is greater than we are, silent trust and faith in a sort of a childlike acceptance, we may if we will uproot all the old patterns that have limited, brought fear and pain and doubt and uncertainty, and in their place replant anew a garden of the gods, a garden of Eden in which we may live in happiness, in joy, and in peace. And isn't it wonderful that we and only we shall choose, and we and only we shall execute? And isn't it wonderful to know that we have this privilege now, today?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I call your attention to the inside back cover of the current issue of the Science of Mind magazine, on which you will find three creative ideas printed in such a way that you may cut them out and carry them in your wallet or purse for ready reference during the day, for every moment of the day, during times of stress, strain, or indecision. The first deals with compensation. The second with strength. The third with forgiveness. Three positive thoughts that will pay you big dividends. Also, may I call your attention to the fact that you will also find a full directory of Religious Science churches listed for so that those of you who are interested in becoming more active in this expanding movement can get information right in your own community. That's in the February issue of the Science of Mind magazine. And here once again, Dr. Ernest Holmes.
Now let us think what an affirmative thought pattern might be like that would tend to bring a greater good into our experience. And let's begin by saying that there is one life, which is God, everywhere present, one life which is good, always responding, one mind which is perfect, ever directing. There is a presence and a power that goes before us and makes plain the way. There is a divine intelligence guiding us, guarding us. There is an intelligence within us in our own imagination and in our own feeling, telling us what to do and how to do it. We know that we are led by this intelligence. We are guided by this divine mind. We are kept in this one perfect presence, and we know that everything that we do shall prosper. Good is natural, good is right. All the abundance of the universe belongs to us, and we accept it. And we do desire to bless and help and heal everything and every person we touch. It is our sincere desire that always there shall be within us something that reaches out and embraces everything in love, in kindness, in consideration, and in joy and happiness. And we do know that peace and joy go before us, that there is no fear or doubt or insecurity or sense of uncertainty. We sleep in peace and wake in joy and live in a consciousness of good. We no longer remember that which is negative or unhappy, and enthusiastically we look forward to every tomorrow, knowing that it shall be good, and we shall live in joy, in happiness, in peace, and in harmony with the eternal spirit. So it is.
Science of Mind magazine invites you and your friends to join with us again next Sunday evening, same time, same channel, for another inspiring half hour with Dr. Ernest Holmes, noted author, philosopher, and spiritual leader. So until that most happy time, a very pleasant good night to you all. Good night.
On 13, The Hunter. He was a man haunted and she a woman wanted. Voice in the Wind tells the suspenseful story of a man of two worlds and two loves. It's your movie of the week, starring Francis Lederer and Sigrid Gurri. Don't miss Voice in the Wind, Tuesday night at 8:30 on Channel.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.